Thank you very much, Padmadaka. Brothers in the Dharma. Sometime in the 6th century, looming out of the mists of history, but kind of concealed by them as well, there emerges, or there's hidden, the figure of Bodhidharma. We hardly know anything about him in terms of hard scientific fact, but for Chinese and Japanese and Korean Buddhists, Bodhidharma emerges, appears, and continues to stand as the great founder, the great father of Chan and Zen. I think there was a film made some years ago, a Korean film, Why Did Bodhidharma Come from the West? I never saw it. I think I'd quite like to track it down. Anyway, Bodhidharma is traditionally regarded as the 28th Indian patriarch of the Chan school and the first Chinese patriarch. Patriarch means here that the kind of lineage holder of the special transmission outside the scriptures. For traditional Chan and Zen Buddhists, Bodhidharma is regarded, therefore, as being in a direct line from the Buddha to Mahakashyapa, holding that special transmission, that direct, wordless transmission of the essence of reality. There's a Tang Dynasty verse which expresses this transmission, tries to give expression to it. A special transmission outside the scriptures, no dependence upon words and letters, direct pointing to the mind, seeing into one's own nature, and realizing Buddhahood. This is regarded as the essence of Zen. And I'd warmly recommend you to track down Sangharakshita's book, The Essence of Zen, which is a commentary on that verse. A special transmission outside the scriptures, no dependence upon words and letters, direct pointing to the mind, seeing into one's own nature, and realizing Buddhahood. Now, Bodhidharma is said to have brought this special transmission from India to China. But as I've said, hardly anything is really known about him. Traditionally, he's regarded as South Indian from a royal family who left that family and became a wandering monk, practiced with the great teachers of his day, especially meditation. But not just meditation, evidently, because it's said that when he came to China, he brought with him one text, one sutra. That is the Lankavatara Sutra, the Sutra of the Entry of the Buddha Dharma into Lanka, meaning Sri Lanka, which teaches the Dharma in terms of mind, in terms of consciousness, and which is especially concerned to point out the experience of what's called Ashraya Paravritti, the revolution in the basis, or the turning around in the deepest seat of consciousness. That realization, that experience, brings about the realization that the whole of the cosmos is mind only. Mind only. Empty, radiant, non-dual awareness. Those who are here next week will be hearing more about that very interesting sounding teaching. At some point, Bodhidharma's realization led him, out of compassion, we're told, to take the Dharma to China. So he took the long and dangerous sea journey, the sea voyage, to communicate his realization to the Chinese. Buddhism had been established in China for some 4 centuries by the time Bodhidharma appeared on the scene. So there were monks and there were monasteries. But for the Chan and Zen tradition, Bodhidharma is regarded as bringing something very special, something fresh and new, something altogether extraordinary. In Chinese and Japanese art, probably Korean art too, Bodhidharma is frequently depicted. And what you see usually is a powerful, imposing figure wrapped in a dark robe, the robe sometimes over his head, draped over his head, and he's got great, bulging, lidless eyes that stare right out at you, and great bushy eyebrows. He has a beard and he has short hair, or he's shaved head, and he's standing holding a staff, and his eyes are really glaring at you. He looks a bit crazy. Sometimes he's depicted seated in meditation, eyes straight ahead. So this is Bodhidharma, and his mythic presence haunts, looms over the entire Chinese and Japanese and Korean Zen traditions. He's even sort of entered into popular culture. I was reading a thing the other day about a certain time, a certain festival in Japan, where everybody's selling these little dolls, Bodhidharma dolls, which are kind of egg-shaped, and when you flip them over, they stand up right. So this is how far Bodhidharma has entered into, popular consciousness. But for the Zen tradition, he's famous. And particularly the koan, the famous koan, the koan that's always kind of been brought up. Why did Bodhidharma come from the West? Why did Bodhidharma come from the West? Meaning, why did Bodhidharma come from India? At some point, evidently, a master asked his disciple that question. Why did Bodhidharma come? What did he bring? What is this special transmission? What is this special transmission outside the scriptures? Why did Bodhidharma come from the West? And you have to answer. Not from what you've read. The master isn't interested in what you've read. He's not interested in any kind of history. You have to answer from the depths of your consciousness. Why did Bodhidharma come from the West? What is this special transmission? And the master is glaring at you. He wants to know. He really wants to know what you've got to say for yourself. If you keep silent, as if to say, well, it's beyond words, he will have you. He will just have you. He's not interested in you playing games. Just as much as if you come out with a trite, cliched answer. He's not interested. One master is depicted as saying, if you speak, I'll give you 50 blows. If you stay silent, I'll give you 50 blows. How do you answer that? How do you answer that question? Why did Bodhidharma come from the West? You're just thrust up against that cliff face again, pressed. And you have to find something deeper. Sometimes it can actually feel like that in life, that wherever, you know, whichever way you're, the moves that are presented to you, that you can't do them. They can't do them. All the moves that you've tried so far, they just don't work. You've got to find something else, something deeper. So Bodhidharma looms over the Zen tradition with his bulging, lidless eyes and his bushy eyebrows. What did he bring? What did he teach?